So we're only going to talk? Yes. Right after I fuck the shit out of you. Chapter 14. Jonathan. Could you please stop filling my office with hundreds of flowers every day? This is getting ridiculous, Claire texted me. I don't want anyone thinking you're available. No one thinks I'm available. I told you no one here has ever tried to talk to me but you, except for Saturday, and I'm starting to rethink our arrangement. Are you threatening me, Claire? You should see how people look at you when you step into meetings or when you walk down the hall. No one ever tried to talk to you because of that damn fraternization policy, and they assumed you wouldn't give them the time of day. I don't make idle threats. I look forward to being punished. See you this evening. Mr. Statham? The therapist cleared her throat. Are you ready to begin now? I tried not to roll my eyes. I'd hired a mediator to speak with my mother and me once a week, since she and I couldn't be in the same room for more than 5 minutes without arguing. Even though my mother thought this was a brilliant idea, I was beginning to have second thoughts. She didn't look too composed today. Her hair was in a frizzy ponytail, her pants weren't ironed, and she reeked of beer and ashes. Yes, I'm ready. Good. She clasped her hands together. We'll start with a few simple questions to see what we're dealing with. Mrs. Statham? I mean, Denise. What do you hope to accomplish by these sessions? I want my son to respect me again. I want him to welcome me back into his life so we can start over. Okay. The therapist jotted down a few notes. And what about you, Jonathan? What do you hope to gain from this? I have nothing to gain from this. Maybe just to be able to sit in a room with her without yelling. That would be sufficient enough. See, my mom crossed her legs. That's exactly what I was telling you about earlier, Doctor. He only hired you to make himself look good, to make it seem like he's trying. But he's really not. He doesn't give a damn about me. He... Have you told her how many times you've relapsed? How many times you've been in and out of prison? How you technically should be in prison right now? Damn it, Jonathan. I'm trying to make something of myself. I'm working really hard. Stop holding my past against me. I'm... Calm down, Denise. The therapist handed her a glass of water. Jonathan, we don't need to start pointing fingers or assigning blame at this stage. We need to start by taking things very slowly. Surely there is something you want to gain out of these sessions. I leaned back in my chair and thought long and hard. I don't want to be angry with her anymore. Great. That's a good start. Now, Denise, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it as truthfully as possible. Jonathan, please don't interrupt. Why do you think you and your son don't have a good relationship? My mother looked at me and sighed. I had Jonathan when I was 25. I wasn't ready for a baby, but I did my best with what I had. Me and his father were working 3 jobs each just to make ends meet. And before we knew it, we had another child, a baby girl. One day while we were going over more overdue bills, a few of his friends came over and asked if we wanted to try some meth, to stop stressing out so much, you know. We both did it, and they went from users to chronic users to 2 of the most sought-after meth dealers in the whole state of Ohio. It's a very heartwarming story, I rolled my eyes. I'm thinking about turning it into a Christmas play. Jonathan, let her finish, the therapist sighed. Anyway, my mother said, I was a horrible mother, I know that. And I've owned that, but I was on drugs. I wasn't myself. I didn't mean to leave my kids hungry or neglect them. It's completely my fault that they were taken away from me. But I'm clean now, and I want a chance to be the mother I should have been back then. Very good start, Denise. Jonathan, how do you feel about what your mother just said? What do you mean, how do I feel? How do you feel? Do you think she's sincere? My mother has been clean for what? 2 months now? By the end of this month, she'll be back in rehab and won't even remember this session happened. Which is quite fitting. Because you're not the first therapist I've hired. and she doesn't remember any of the other therapists either. So I feel nothing. She apologized for leaving you and your sister hungry. The word hungry implies wanting something to eat, knowing that it's only a matter of time before some type of food is placed in front of you. My mother did not leave us hungry. She left us starving. We went days, sometimes weeks, locked inside our trailer with just rice grains to eat. It wasn't until I realized that I could climb out the window and get to the dumpsters that I realized what the word hungry meant. There was silence. The therapist took off her glasses and looked back and forth between the two of us. Okay, we clearly have a lot of work to do over the next few months. Let's take a break and reconvene next week, okay? Great. I stood up and offered a hug to my mother. Even though I was beyond furious with her, I always made a point to do that, just in case she relapsed before our next encounter, and I wouldn't see her for another 8 months. Do you want to get dinner tonight? She hugged me back. We don't have to say a word to each other. We could go to one of those restaurants that plays movies. We never watched any movies together, and we probably never will. Maybe some other time. I have a date tonight. I parked in front of Claire's house and hit my emergency brake so my car wouldn't roll down the hill. I'd been meaning to ask why the hell she'd bought a house at the top of a slope. It didn't seem safe. You're early. What type of car is that? She texted me. Murcielago. The meeting was cut short. Take your time getting ready. Wear a dress. I pulled out my phone and scrolled through a few of my emails, skimming through most of them. I had been receiving at least 500 a day since word got out about my company going public. I'd even had to hire a temporary email consultant to sort through them all. This IPO is going to be the death of me. I looked up and saw Claire locking the front door of her house. I stepped out of the car and walked over to the passenger side. Nice pantsuit, I laughed. I actually like this one. Thank you. I figured I'd wear the outfit you liked me in best. She slipped into the car. I walked back over to my side and sped away. Where are we going today? She asked. Did you shut down Ocean Beach so we could eat there? Would you like me to? She shook her head and smiled. We're going to Pittsburgh Rivers. What? She paled. Pittsburgh Rivers. It's a specialty restaurant a few miles from here. They have themed meals from the city. I was hoping you'd be able to suggest some things for me to try, since that's your hometown. Oh. Are you okay? Yes. She turned her head towards the window. I'm fine. I pulled into the parking lot minutes later and looked at her. She hadn't said much of anything on the drive over. She'd been strangely quiet and hadn't given me any of her usual sarcasm. Are you sure that you're okay, Claire? We don't have to eat here if you don't want to. We can go to my beach house or... I'm sure. I'm just a little tired. I knew she was lying, but I decided not to push the issue any further. I helped her out of the car and led her into the restaurant. Good evening, Mr. Statham. Right this way. The host greeted me as soon as I stepped inside and ushered us into a private room. The walls were painted in murals of all the popular Pittsburgh landmarks. Heinz Field, Cathedral of Learning, Carnegie Museum, and I thought Claire would start chatting about them, but she didn't say a word. Welcome to Pittsburgh Rivers, San Francisco's own version of the great city of Pittsburgh, our waiter said. He pulled a few menus from his apron and looked back and forth between us. Will you two require a full or a half menu tonight? The hot metal bridge special is only available on the full one. Full, I noticed Claire wincing. Fine choice. I'll bring out those menus right away, sir. Would you be interested in the chef's special wine? It was imported directly from a French winery. What is it? It's a wonderful wine, a hand-pressed 1975 Bordeaux, and... Claire started coughing and stood up. Excuse me, gentlemen. I'll be right back. No, thank you. I watched her saunter off. We'll have your best champagne. Yes, sir. He walked away. I scrolled through my emails again, waiting on Claire to rejoin me at the table, but 20 minutes passed and she never returned. I stood up and headed to the bathroom, knocking before I walked in. Claire?
I'll be out in a minute, she sighed.
I stepped inside and locked the door behind me. I walked past all the empty stalls and spotted her sitting at a vanity with her head down.
What's wrong?
I touched her shoulder.
Tell me. Can we...
She slowly turned around to face me.
Can we please get the hell out of here?
Where do you want to go?
Anywhere but here.
I reached for her hand and led her back outside. I wanted to drive to my beach house, but it was 40 minutes away, so I headed for my condo downtown. Once again, she said nothing to me during the drive. She kept her head turned towards the window, and I caught her wiping away a stray tear.
Welcome back, Mr. Statham.
The valet caught my keys as soon as I pulled up to the building.
Thank you, Mr. Reese.
I helped Claire out of the car. Could you keep it on the bottom level?
Of course.
I pulled Claire close to me as we stepped onto the elevator, watching her face pale in the reflection of the doors. When we reached my place, I led her over to a sofa and sat next to her.
Talk to me. Tell me what's wrong.
I'll be fine. I'm just having a bad day, she forced a smile.
Do you have any movies here?
We should watch.
I cupped her face in my hands. If you and I are going to work, you're going to have to open up to me. If this was strictly physical, or if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be concerned.
But I do care. You can trust me.
So, you don't have any movies here?
We're not watching any movies. You're going to tell me why you're upset.
You completely changed once I mentioned Pittsburgh Rivers, and I want to know why.
You can sit here and be silent for as long as you want. But we're not leaving this room until you tell me.
She leaned back against the couch and shut her eyes.
Fair enough.
I tapped my phone and prepared to order dinner, but she turned to face me.
My ex-husband proposed to me at Heinz Field, she said. He knew one of the physical trainers that worked for the football team, and he let us in after hours. I thought we were going there to take a private tour, but he walked me out to the 50-yard line and proposed to me. It was so romantic. He even managed to get the scoreboard to read, "Will you marry me?" in bright yellow lights. I just knew that he was the one after that. Until 14 years later when I found out that he and my best friend had been having an affair, and she was pregnant by him. Everything that I thought was beautiful about my life in Pittsburgh became ugly after that.
I suddenly felt guilty for suggesting that restaurant, for thinking it would stir up good memories and conversation.
I don't think about it as much as I used to, but there are still little reminders here and there, and I just...
You just what? I pulled her closer.
I still can't believe it on some days. My best friend and my husband. The two people I trusted most.
She sighed.
She and I used to take a road trip to New York every year to celebrate her birthday. We always did the same thing. Times Square, a Broadway play, and a night on the town. The last time we went there together, she was 3 months pregnant, and I was buying her all these cute little baby clothes because I was so happy for her. I can't help but think how sick of a person she really was, to celebrate her birthday with me, knowing that my husband's child was growing inside of her. How fucking disgusting is that?
She leaned against me.
When I asked my husband why he did it, why he would even think to cheat on me with my best friend, he said there'd always been something between the two of them. He said he'd had feelings for her since the first day they met, but he thought being with me was the safe and secure choice. Then one night, while they were drinking, at my house, ironically, one thing led to another, and after years of suppressing their feelings, they just couldn't deny it anymore.
Isn't that the stupidest shit you've ever heard?
I didn't say anything. I just gently rubbed her back.
They had another little girl last year. They've traveled all around the world together, and done all the things I thought he and I would be doing together at this point. He even took her to the Panama Canal, where we were supposed to go, He said he would take me sailing there for our 15th anniversary. But we never made it because...
She stopped and shook her head. I'm so sorry that happened to you, Claire. I expected her to say more, to cry even, but she simply buried her head in my chest and drifted into a deep sleep. I felt Claire nuzzling my chest and set my phone down.
What time is it? She murmured.
9:15. Are you hungry? Would you like to get something to eat?
No, I'm okay.
She moved out of my lap.
You can take me home now.
I don't think so. What do you normally do when you're upset? What makes you feel better?
Home Depot.
Or more recently, sex with you. I laughed. The home improvement store? Why?
I can't explain it. One step inside that store and I just... all my problems go away for a while. I get lost in the paint swatches, the tiles, the bathroom fixtures, and everything.
Would you like to go there now?
It closed at 9 o'clock,
she frowned. That's not what I asked you.
Yes, if it were possible, right now would be a perfect time to go.
I picked up my phone. Hey, Corey, I need you to do me a favor.
The manager says you have 2 hours, and he wants every item you take to be scanned on register number 1. He wants an S-tablet the day it comes out, and he'll send you the bill tomorrow.
Corey typed a few things onto his tablet, and the doors to Home Depot slid open.
Claire looked up at me and smiled as she made her way into the store, leaving me standing alone with Corey.
Okay, seriously, Corey said once she was out of earshot. Does she have any friends who look half as good as she does? I need someone too, you know. Watch it. I thought you had a date tonight. What happened with that?
She was an airhead. All she talked about was what type of clothes she wanted to wear to some celebrity party in L.A. We did have sex in my car on the way back, though, which was amazing. But I don't think I can sit through another dinner with her. One was painful enough.
I'm sure you'll have someone else by tomorrow. Did you finish the Sorrento account?
Of course I did. No thanks to you, he laughed. We now have the best security tracking system I've ever seen. It's been 3 days, and I haven't been able to hack into it from the outside. That's a pretty good sign.
Good to know. Could you deactivate all the cameras in the store?
10 steps ahead of you, he patted my shoulder and started stepping backwards. The next time you want to interrupt my favorite show, just so you can break into a hardware store after hours, please hesitate to let me know.
I walked over to where I saw Claire disappear to and spotted her on the ceiling fan aisle.
Thank you so much. Her eyes met mine. I only need to get a few things. I left my wallet at home, so I'll pay you back for...
Get anything you want. You should know that you don't have to pay me back.
Her eyes lit up. Anything I want?
Yes. I kissed her lips.
Anything you want. Well, in that case, we might be here for a while. It was midnight by the time she'd picked out everything she wanted, and we'd filled 6 carts to capacity. We were walking around the small pond in the outdoor greenery area, holding hands and laughing at the fish that were flopping across the surface.
When do you want to start scanning everything? She looked up at me.
Never. We're not scanning any of it. I'll write the manager a check and cover all his inventory losses at the end of the year.
Okay. Well, are we going to start loading up your car? How many trips do you think it'll...
It's already been taken care of.
I pulled her into my arms. Don't worry about it.
I smiled as I slid a hand underneath her shirt. You know, your creativity never ceases to amaze me.
What are you talking about?
Why do you like wearing pantsuits all of a sudden? You've been wearing them all week.
She smirked.
No reason. I haven't put that much thought into it. She tried to step away from me, but I tightened my grip around her.
Do you honestly think wearing pantsuits will keep me
from fucking me inside of Home Depot?
I hope so.
I unsnapped her bra and kissed her neck.
It won't.
Jonathan, there are cameras.
Corey turned them all off. I pulled her down into a bed of grass. My driver won't be here with the truck for another hour. That's plenty of time, don't you think? I reached down and unzipped her pants.
Have I ever told you that you're ridiculously insatiable?
Only when it comes to you.
April 14th, 2013. Dear Journal, I wish there was a better way to screen potential employees for jobs, a better way to see through people's bullshit. In every interview, the candidate always says exactly what he's supposed to say. My biggest weakness is trying to be a perfectionist all the time. I truly believe I'm the best person for this job because I'm driven, I work hard, and I'm always willing to go the extra mile. Oh no, I've never been late to work. Ever. During his trial period, he's the most exemplary candidate in the world, showing up early every day, offering to buy all his co-workers coffee, and staying late on every campaign assignment. But as soon as that 90-day trial period is up, he becomes an ass. A complete and total ass. We hired a new regional director at the beginning of the year to help us revive our city billboard operations. And once he was officially in the position, he started acting like he was the CEO. He took over in all the meetings, talking over anyone who disagreed with him, and insisting that his ideas were simply the best. He began ordering my associates around, treating them like crap, and bad-mouthing them at all our directors' seminars. While he was in the middle of saying how he couldn't believe how dim-witted and dumb they were, questioning how any of them had ever managed to get through college in the first place, I let him have it. I told him that he was a fucking idiot, and that the only reason we agreed to hire him was because our first choice failed the drug test. By the way, when did employers start testing for opium? And where the hell do people find opium? And yeah, I said, my associates may be dumb as rocks, and they may not know a goddamn thing about marketing, but they're my associates, and nobody can talk bad about them but me. People these days. Claire. Chapter 15. Claire. It's not real. It's not real. Breathe, Claire. Breathe. I jumped out of bed and ran downstairs to the kitchen. I opened a cabinet and grabbed a packet of Tylenol, tossing the pills down my throat. I flung the refrigerator door open and reached for a bottle of water, downing it in one gulp. I took out another one as soon as I finished. This happened to me every year. Every single year. Every time my wedding anniversary rolled around. I shut my eyes and tried to calm myself down from the nightmare I'd just had. The one that featured my husband running off with my best friend. The one that featured her getting pregnant with his baby. But once I opened my eyes and looked around, once I saw that my kitchen was not our kitchen, I realized that it wasn't a nightmare after all. I sank down to the floor and sighed, trying to make myself think of something else, anything else, but another ugly memory forced itself across my mind. It was weeks after the hurtful revelation, and Amanda hadn't called or texted me to say that she was sorry. She hadn't said a word about her part in the affair to any of our mutual friends. Nada. Zilch. Nothing. I walked into our neighborhood grocery store, puffy-eyed, drained, and ugly, and spotted her in a wrinkled red sundress. I saw her turning down the very aisle I needed. Specialty ice cream. I knew she was going to pick out our favorite mint chocolate chip brand and cry just like I'd planned to. But we weren't going to be crying together this time. We were going to be crying separately, over the same situation that had broken us in two very different ways. I followed her down the aisle and tapped her on the shoulder. Yes, may I? She dropped the carton to the floor as soon as her swollen eyes met mine. There was silence as we looked at one another, as we searched for something to say about a situation best friends should never have to go through. I tried to control my anger, tried to step back and take a slow, deep breath, but it didn't work. I drew my hand back and slapped the shit out of her. She gasped and reached up to touch her cheek. The fact that I almost felt sorry for her made me want to vomit. "I deserve that," she whispered. "No shit." I am so, so sorry, Claire," her voice cracked. She uncovered her cheek and I saw the beautiful red imprint of my hand. "I never, ever wanted to hurt you. I wanted to call you and say something, but I already know you'll never forgive me for what's happened. If I could take everything back, I swear I would. I didn't realize that..." "That I was married? That you were the maid of honor at my wedding? That you helped me shop for an anniversary present every year? What exactly didn't you realize?" "I didn't think our feelings were real, genuine, worth mentioning before I tied the knot. As much as it would have hurt me, Amanda, as much as I would have cried over it, if you had just said, 'Hey, I have feelings for Ryan and he has feelings for me too,' before we got married. Hell, before we got engaged, this would have..." I couldn't hold back my tears. "Do you even realize how fucked up this all is? This isn't some goddamn romance book on your shelf, Amanda. This is my fucking life. I really am sorry. When the fuck were you going to tell me?" I wanted to slap her again. "Huh? When the baby was born? When he turned 2? At one point did you and Ryan think about letting your spouses in on this twisted-ass joke? Listen to... Answer the goddamn question," she sighed. "We never discussed that." "Of course you didn't. I guess fucking each other all the time was conversation enough." I moved past her and took 2 cartons of mint chocolate chip from the fridge. "Claire, wait. I'll always hate myself for..." "That makes 2 of us. We've always shared the same enemies. I can't say how sorry..." "The only reason I'm not stomping the living shit out of you right now is because you're carrying a baby. My ex-husband's baby. But the more I stand here looking at how pathetic you are, I'm tempted to disregard that fact because you're not really sorry, Amanda. You're only sorry because you got caught. And you're right. I will never forgive you." I swallowed 1 more Tylenol pill and washed it down. I looked at my watch and realized it was noon. I can't waste my whole weekend thinking about this. I need to do something. I walked over to the pantry and saw that there was nothing inside but a box of cereal and a jar of unopened peanut butter. Problem solved. I stood in front of the meat freezer at Whole Foods, debating whether I should buy 2 or 3 packages of chicken. Since Ashley had recently given up her vegan status, she and Caroline were on some type of all-protein fix, and they'd been eating meat like crazy. For the past few nights, I'd witnessed them scarf down grilled ham sandwiches, burritos, and turkey burgers like their lives depended on it. I decided to go with 3 and headed for the register. As usual, there were only 2 cashiers working, and since it was Saturday, the day everyone else did their shopping, I prepared myself for a long wait in line. I picked up a copy of Cosmopolitan magazine and skimmed through the pages, trying not to laugh at the ridiculous article titles. The number 1 thing he craves in bed tonight. How to break the 3-date rule. And 200 sex tricks that will make him love you. I turned to another page and saw an article entitled, "For Any Relationship, How to Keep Things Spicy." I read the first paragraph and rolled my eyes. But I kept reading. "The key to any relationship, whether you're young or a little more mature in age, is not communication. Well, that is important, but we'll get to that later. The key is variety. Within your date nights, within your displays of affection, and within your bedroom. Since this is Cosmo, we're going to focus on key number 3, your bedroom. Sex should never be the same thing day in and day out. It should be spontaneous, passionate, and so amazingly good that you and your guy think about it for days after. If you're not already having sex again, that is. Our senior editors decided to take the plunge for you, interviewing over 1,000 men for this feature. They asked each of them, what they liked most about the women they've dated, what turns them on, and most importantly, how important variety is to a relationship. Feel free to read exclusive interviews on the next page, but for now, we're going to give you a list of tips to automatically boost your sex life and add some much-needed variety. 1. Sexting. Sexting is a... I couldn't read anymore. I reached for something safer. Oprah's O magazine, and searched for her most recent book club picks. I moved up 2 spaces in line and cursed under my breath. There was an elderly couple arguing with the cashier about a stack of coupons.
"Excuse me?" A blonde tapped my shoulder.
"Yes?
Could you pass me a copy of Cosmo, please?"
"Sure." I picked one up and handed it to her.
"You know, a lot of it is crazy, but some of this stuff actually works on my husband," she laughed, and walked away.
She's got to be kidding me. I pulled Cosmo off the rack again and read the rest of the article. 1. Sexting. Sexting is a great way to spice up any relationship. Now, if you've never done it before, you may want to start off with a regular text conversation to make sure that he's near his phone and it won't be seen by anyone else. Once you've committed to sexting, you should simply text your guy something simple, something like, "I'm so horny," and then say something short and naughty right after. For example, "I'm so horny. I wish you could see what I have on right now." Once your guy sees the text, he'll definitely text you something naughty back. Don't let it die down after this. Continue engaging him in sexy banter all day. The next time you two are together, he'll be reminded of your messages and want to live out everything the both of you sexted about. Trust us, nearly every guy we interviewed said engaging in sexting was one of the best things that...
"These are supposed to be double coupons. We are not paying an extra dollar. Where is the manager?"
the elderly couple ahead interrupted my reading. I sighed. I figured I might as well try to have some fun while I waited in line. I pulled my phone out and sent Jonathan a text. "I'm so horny. I can't wait to ride your dick again." I found my place in the article once more and started reading about points 2 and 3, homemade sex tapes and weekend sex retreats. My phone started ringing, and I answered without looking at the screen. I was too wrapped up in reading about the benefits of using flavored condoms. "Hello? If you want to ride my dick that badly, you don't have to wait. Where are you?"
"Jonathan? You're supposed to text back, not call me. Why can't you just text back like a normal?"
"Where are you?"
My body tingled from the sound of his voice. "I'm at Whole Foods."
"Which one?"
"The one on 4th Street."
"I'll be there in 10 minutes. Go to your car and get in the back seat."
He hung up. Ugh, fuck Cosmo. They clearly didn't interview any Jonathan Statham types.
"Ma'am? Ma'am?"
The cashier looked at me. "You can start unloading your cart now. Actually, I need to get something else." I pushed my cart out of line and parked it in the soft drinks aisle. I headed to the restroom and looked myself over. Pink collared shirt, light blue jeans, slightly tousled hair. My cheeks were bright red and my body was aching, longing to be touched. I had to silently scold myself to calm down. Am I really this insatiable? Am I as bad as he is? I took a deep breath and walked out, taking my time to get through the store and into the parking lot. I found my car and fumbled around in my purse for the keys, dropping them to the ground. I bent down to pick them up, but Jonathan grabbed them before I could. "Good afternoon, Claire," he whispered against my neck, setting my nerves on fire.
"Hi."
He kept the keys in his hand and unlocked the back door.
"You first."
I stepped inside and scooted over to the window. He stepped in after me and shut the door. I looked away, but he reached over and tilted my face towards him. I was literally trembling in anticipation, wondering when he would start ripping my clothes off. Instead, he simply looked into my eyes, tracing his fingertips along my jawline, along my lips. Without breaking gaze with me, He slid closer and gently dragged my headband away from my hair. He tossed it towards the front seat and cupped my face in his hands, still staring into my eyes, making me wet while barely touching me.
"What made you text me that today?"
he asked, dropping his hands to unbutton my jeans. "I was trying to do the sexting thing."
"The sexting thing?"
He pushed my pants down. "Yes. You were supposed to text me back. Then, we were supposed to send sexy messages back and forth all day, so..."
"I don't do sexting."
He unbuckled his belt and slid out of his pants. "Why not?
I prefer to bypass the bullshit."
He laid me across the seat and tugged my pants to my ankles.
"What were the exact words of your text again?"
"Pull out your phone and look it up."
"Excuse me?"
I didn't stutter.
"Neither did I."
He raised his eyebrow.
"I'm only going to ask you one more time."
"Good. Because I'm going to give you the exact same answer." He smiled as he slid my shirt over my head.
"You make things so fucking difficult sometimes. We need to work on changing that."
He flipped me over on my stomach before I could say something back. "Ah." I felt him giving my ass a soft slap and snapping my bra off. My breath caught in my throat once I felt him tying my hands behind my back with his belt, once I heard him unwrapping a condom.
"Do you get some type of pleasure out of being difficult?"
He slipped two fingers inside of me. "No."
"Are you sure?"
He tightened the belt around my wrists.
"You sure you don't enjoy it?"
"Yes, I'm sure."
"I'm not."
He slowly slid his dick into me, not all the way, just enough to make me murmur, enough to make me regret not answering his question. He planted kisses on my bound hands, running his tongue across my wrists, gently biting each of my fingertips. He ran his hands along my sides and sighed, placing light kisses in the groove of my back. I tried to stifle my moans, but I couldn't. He knew my body too well.
"Admit that you like being difficult."
He slid into me a little further. "I don't..."
"Then tell me what your text said."
"It said that I screamed as he buried himself deep inside of me, as he kept my body pinned down to the seat with his arms. "Oh, Jonathan."
"Tell me what your text said."
He pounded into me over and over, never giving me the chance to catch a breath. He repeated his question, more sternly this time, and forcefully tugged my hair back with each stroke. I felt him slapping my ass, and my clit throbbed with insane pleasure.
"Do you need a hint?"
"No."
"Then say it."
He slowed his pace, but he kept thrusting in and out of me, and pulling my hair. "I said that...
"Yes?"
"That I..." He slapped my ass again.
"That you what?"
"That I can't wait to ride your dick again." He pulled out of me and untied my hands, kissing my hands as he did it.
"Was that so hard to say? Why couldn't you say that a few minutes ago?"
I didn't get a chance to answer him. He'd already flipped me over so that I was on top of him. He brushed a few strands of hair away from my face and leaned up to kiss me, gently biting my bottom lip and caressing my back. I was looking into his eyes, his beautiful blue eyes, and he was looking back into mine. I didn't want to say a word. I felt like we could sit like that forever and communicate just by gazing at one another. He smiled and lay back against the seat. I slowly adjusted my legs and straddled him, slowly sinking myself onto his dick. I gasped once he was completely inside of me. Shut my eyes once he gripped my hips.
"Don't close your eyes," he whispered. "I want to look at you."
He waited for me to blink them open, commanding me to move without saying another word. I pressed my palms onto his chest and started to rock, back and forth, up and down, around and around.
I moaned as he reached up and caressed my breasts with his hands, as he rolled my nipples between his fingers. Claire. He kept his eyes locked on mine. Lean forward. No. I leaned back and put my arms behind me, grabbing onto his thighs and rotating my hips. I tried to keep a steady rhythm, a steady, slow one. But my body's needs overrode my mind's thoughts. Ah! I let go of his legs and leaned forward, driving myself deeper and deeper into him, screaming as he met me thrust for thrust. He reached for my hands, intertwining his fingers with mine. Don't stop. His breathing was becoming erratic. I'm about to... Don't come yet. He let my hands go and wrapped his arms around me, giving me an intense stare. Wait for me. I can't... My hips were bucking wildly. My breaths were becoming shorter and shorter. If he didn't let me come soon, I was going to lose the ability to breathe. He rose up, still buried deep inside of me with his arms around my waist, and took what little breath I had away with an open-mouthed kiss. Let go, he whispered against my lips, and my insides exploded all around him. I felt him jerking inside of me, and that sent another scream-worthy sensation ripping through my body. The force of it knocked me forward into his chest and made both of us fall back against the seat. You're amazing. He rubbed his palms against my back. I murmured something, maybe, thank you, and continued sucking in as much air as I could. I was breathing like I'd just finished a marathon, still shuddering from that mind-blowing climax. I can't believe I just had sex in a grocery store parking lot. What the hell is wrong with me? I took a few more deep breaths, breathing in the sweet scent of his cologne. I winced as he moved me off of him, as he sat up and began picking up my clothes. We have a lot of sex, Jonathan, I gasped once I realized that I'd said that out loud.
Is that a problem?
No, it's just different for me.
Me too.
He sat next to me and smoothed my hair with his hands. I find that hard to believe. How is it different for you? You didn't have endless sex with any of the other 16 women?
No.
I thought you said you didn't lie. I refuse to believe that you didn't indulge or enjoy.
Claire, he said, letting out an exasperated sigh. You're completely incomparable to any woman I've ever dated. Period.
He pressed his fingers against my lips.
I don't like to compare past relationships, but since I know you'll keep thinking about it if I don't,
he looked into my eyes.
I did enjoy having sex with the women of my past. I liked it, really liked it, but I honestly could have done without it, because it was never memorable. It never made me feel anything. It's not like that with you. I love having sex with you, and I personally don't think we have enough. But that's not the only reason why this is different for me. In my past relationships, I never thought about any of them the way I think about you. You'd be surprised how often you cross my mind. Do I need to say more, or is that answer good enough for now?
For now. I smiled and he gave me a kiss.
Are you going to finish your grocery shopping now?
He held my shirt up so I could slip my arms through it. No, I can't go back in there.
Why not?
Because everyone will know that I just had sex.
How?
I'm pretty sure the sweat and the male cologne on my skin will give it away.
So?
So? I'm not going in there. I rolled my eyes as he helped me into my pants.
Would it help if I went in with you?
No.
Because we're in public, right?
He shook his head and handed me his phone.
I'll have Greg get your stuff and deliver it to your place tonight. Type everything you need, specific brands if you have preferences.
I typed everything that was in my cart and a few extra things I'd forgotten about. I pulled out my credit card and handed it to him once he was on the phone.
Greg? Yes.
He eyed the card suspiciously and handed it back to me.
I just sent you a list of things that Miss Grayson needs for tonight. Make sure it's done as soon as possible.
Thank you. You don't have to pay for it. My sentence was cut off once he leaned forward and kissed me.
Stop it, He smiled. I want to take you somewhere. Now? Yes, now. Give me your keys. I'll drive.
I opened my eyes and realized I was lying on the hood of my car. It was unusually warm outside, and the wind was soft and gentle. I turned on my side and saw Jonathan smiling at me.
Did you get enough rest?
He leaned over and kissed my cheek. How long was I asleep?
Not that long.
Oh. Any reason why we're lying on the hood of my car?
I don't think you can fully appreciate the view from the front seat.
I turned my head and saw that we were at a clearing on the ocean. We were parked on the edge of a private dock that overlooked a grassy mountain range, low enough to feel the soft sprays of the sea. There was a shoreline a few feet behind us, with a row of wooden villas that were slightly secluded by overgrown trees. Where are we? I've never seen this side of...
Tell me something that I don't know about you.
He moved closer and held my hand. I think I might be attracted to you.
Something that I don't know.
He smiled.
I knew that the first day we met.
You're so full of yourself. I wanted to be an actress when I was growing up.
Really?
Yeah. I was in every play in high school, and I was in drama clubs all over the city. I just knew that that was what I was going to be. My classmates even voted me most likely to be famous in the yearbook.
Why didn't you pursue that when you went to college?
The flag charms on my necklace suddenly felt heavy, and my heart began to ache. I could feel a lump rising up my throat, but I pushed it back down. I couldn't talk about that. Not today. Not ever. I just didn't have the heart for it anymore.
Tell me something I don't know about you. I used to be fat.
I burst into laughter.
I don't believe you. It's true. I don't know how it was possible since I starved for half my childhood, but I was chubby up until my first semester of college. Then I was forced to change.
Why? He put his arm around my shoulders.
I really needed a third job because the hours I was getting at the car wash and the coffee shop weren't cutting it. The only place that was always looking for new talent told me they'd take me on if I lost weight and got in shape.
What type of job makes you lose weight?
A high-paying one with lots of desperate women.
You sold yourself for money?
He laughed. No, I danced.
I was quiet for several seconds. I guessed it made sense that a theater company would want its dancers to be thin and fit. Although, men appreciated the art of dance, too, so I didn't quite understand the desperate women part.
You did ballet?
I asked. Was it hard to...
Seriously? No, I did not do ballet. I was a stripper. In a strip club.
I blinked. I knew my cheeks were on fire, but I tried to put on my best poker face anyway. I don't know if I can believe that, but I want to. He pulled his phone out and scrolled through a gallery of pictures, stopping on one that featured a group of men dressed in various costumes. Postal workers, policemen, Indians, cowboys.
That's me in the back, in the fireman costume.
He smiled.
I had to pay a lot of money to make sure none of these photos resurfaced. Do you believe me now?
I didn't say anything. I just smiled.
Tell me something else, Claire.
I paused. My ultimate dream. After I quit Statham Industries and start my design company, I want to sail the world on a luxury liner. I want to rent one for a whole year and stop as many places as I can.
By yourself?
With my friends. My female friends.
Duly noted.
He grinned. It's your turn to...
You're a vision. Do you know that? Do you know how beautiful you are?
He trailed his fingertips across my lips.
I don't think you fully understand that sometimes. I could gaze at you all day.
My heart started fluttering, and I wanted to say, thank you, you too. But the words locked themselves in my throat.
You're not thinking about anything right now, are you?
I shook my head.
Good.
He slid off the hood and pulled me up.
Leave your phone there. I've always wanted to do this to someone.
Do what? Before I could get the words out,
He was picking me up and my body was free-falling in the air. The next thing I knew, I was hitting the cold waters of the ocean and sinking down below. I frantically swam back up to the surface, splashing all around and gasping for air, looking for wherever he was so I could kill him. He came up to the surface a few feet away, laughing.
"Did you like that? Corey claims some water from the Fountain of Youth was poured in here centuries ago. If he's right, we'll wake up 10 years younger tomorrow."
"Are you crazy? What if I didn't know how to swim? You can't just throw people into the ocean." He shrugged.
"I guess you would have died. But since you told me you knew how to swim weeks ago, I'm glad that wasn't a lie."
"Do you record our conversations?"
"Every single one. Whatever."
"You expect me to drive home wet?"
"Not this type of wet, no."
"I'm serious."
"It's taken care of. Greg will be here soon. In the meantime..."
He gave me one of his "I'm about to fuck you" looks and moved towards me. I swam away from him as fast as I could, heading towards the beach. As the cool waves lapped up against my skin, I realized that I'd never felt so free, so alive. Once I made it to the shoreline, I stood up and tried to run, but Jonathan grabbed me from behind and pulled me down to the sand. "I don't think sand and sex go together," I laughed as he pinched my nipples through my wet shirt.
"Who said anything about sex? Is that always on your mind?"
"Is it always on yours?"
"Of course,"
he laughed.
"Come on, we need to get out of these clothes."
He helped me up and walked me along the beach to one of the small wooden villas. He entered a code on a small keypad, and the door glided open. He waited for me to walk inside and motioned for me to sit on a white love seat. I looked all around, in genuine awe of the place. It was fitted with a beautiful brick fireplace, a state-of-the-art kitchen, and I could see a large bedroom across the hall. "Is this your vacation rental?"
"A rental?"
He opened a closet.
"No, I own this. I own all of them."
"Why do you need so many?"
"I had them built last year. One of the members on my board asked me to invest in a similar project in Florida. After seeing how profitable it was, I decided to open my own here. They'll be available for people to rent in a few months. Would you like one for yourself?"
"Oh, no. I probably couldn't afford..."
"You wouldn't have to pay for it."
He handed me a stack of towels in a small white box.
"You should know better than that by now."
I opened the box and saw silk panties, a pair of gray sweats, a pink t-shirt, and matching flip-flops. "You're always prepared, aren't you? How many sets of these do you..."
"I bought everything in that box just for you,"
he said, rolling his eyes.
"I'd planned on bringing you here after our first date at Michael Mina's, but I believe you stood me up."
"You're still not over that?"
"I'm getting there. You can go change in the bedroom. Would you like a sandwich?"
"Yes, thank you." I walked over to the bedroom and closed the door. "This is beautiful." The room was set up like a dream suite. The satin canopy that hung from the ceiling was swaying back and forth in the wind. The elegant bed was covered in a sea-blue duvet that complemented all the white furniture. I ran my hands across the sheets and knew that their thread count was in the thousands. I drew the drapes completely open and gasped at the breathtaking view. I could see the ocean waves lapping up over the shore, the seagulls circling around the dock above. Sighing, I pulled the drapes closed and peeled out of my wet clothes. I bent over to pick up the stack of towels and froze. Jonathan had walked into the room. He wasn't wearing anything but a towel around his waist, and I was pretty sure he couldn't see me from where he was standing. He stepped further into the room.
"I forgot to ask what type of sandwich you..."
His eyes met mine. He didn't finish his sentence. He didn't look like he even remembered that he was talking. He was standing there, staring at my naked body, making me blush red all over. He walked over and picked up my towels, face the window. I froze. I couldn't function, couldn't even breathe when he looked at me like that. He kissed my lips and smiled. He pulled my hair on top of my head and tucked it into a towel, planting light kisses all over my face. He took another towel and slowly brushed it over my shoulders, my breasts, and my stomach. So beautiful. I gasped as he bent down in front of me and rubbed it between my legs as he kissed the inside of my thighs and groaned. He stood back up and looked into my eyes, sighing. What type of sandwich do you want?
Turkey.
With cheese? I nodded. Don't take too long getting dressed. He kissed my forehead and left the room. I collapsed onto the bed and shook my head in disbelief. I knew I'd be in serious trouble if I didn't walk away from him right now. If I left this room and didn't ask him to take me home right away, I wouldn't be able to rein in my feelings for another minute. He was getting to me, and I couldn't deny it anymore. I thought about him all the time. My heart did flips whenever I saw him at work, and I looked forward to hearing his sexy voice over the phone at night. This is not how this was supposed to go. I sat up and reached for the clothes he'd bought me. I slipped into them and smiled once I saw that they fit me perfectly. I kicked on the flip-flops and headed back out into the kitchen, rehearsing a short speech in my head. Jonathan, I need you to take me home. We can talk about why on the way, but I don't think... He looked up and smiled once I stepped into the room, making me lose my train of thought. Screw it. I'll just take the trouble. He handed me a plate and walked me outside to a small wooden swing that was standing on the porch. He waited for me to sit down first and placed his arm around my shoulder. Our special silence slowly crept in on us, and we ate our food without saying a word. We simply looked out at the ocean, at the calm waves that were frothing and foaming against the coast. As soon as I set my empty plate on the ground, he pulled me into his lap and held me close. I lay back in his arms and smiled as he kissed me repeatedly. Chapter 16. Claire. I tossed and turned in my bed, wishing I could somehow will myself to sleep, but it wasn't working. All I could think about was him. Him touching me. Him kissing me. Him getting to me. After he dropped me off at home yesterday, I promised myself that I would spend my Sunday alone so I could further analyze the situation between him and me. I needed to write down my expectations, best and worst case scenarios, and weigh all the pros and cons of whatever the hell this was. I even told Sandra and Helen to come over so we could discuss it over chilled wine and cheese, so they could distract me from calling or texting him. All of a sudden, my get-ready-to-run alarm started ringing. I knocked my phone off the nightstand to get it to shut up. There was no way I was running this morning. My phone hit the floor with a thud, but the alarm kept blaring on and on. Ugh! I rolled off the bed and onto the floor, feeling around for it in the dark. Once I finally had it in my hand, I looked to hit dismiss, but I saw that it was a phone call. It was Jonathan. Hello? I answered. What are you doing? At 5 in the morning? I groaned. Take an easy guess. Are you on your way outside to let me take you away for the day? What? No. I'm going back to bed. I went out with you yesterday. We don't need to... Can I please take you out for the day? No. You should have mentioned this earlier. I have... I'm not the keep-asking type, Claire. You have 20 minutes. He hung up. What? I lay on the floor, confused, processing what the hell was going on. I had plans for today. Concrete, definite, no Jonathan allowed plans. I couldn't let him keep doing these spontaneous things to me. This wasn't how this was supposed to go. Then again, I wasn't even sure what this was. 10 minutes. Jonathan. I sighed. I didn't want to know what he would do if I didn't meet him outside. I rushed to the bathroom and brushed my teeth. I slipped into a pair of loose-fitting khakis and a slimming red shirt, pulling a thin gray sweater over it. I went down to the kitchen and left a note on the fridge for Ashley and Caroline. I hope you both enjoy your off day today, but please make sure all the dishes are done by this evening. I left $30 for lunch and dinner on my dresser. If your grandmother comes by for her mixer, it's in my trunk. Love you. See you later. Mom. I grabbed a box of breakfast cookies and made my way outside, rolling my eyes once I saw Jonathan step out of the town car. He held the back door open and smiled as I approached. "Good morning, Claire." I didn't respond. I slipped inside the car and slid over to the other side. "Are you